What is up, everybody? This is Joffre Papa Pompenizai with my best friend in the whole world, John Mazurowski. How are you, buddy?
Hamas.
And, you know what? I was going to introduce the person we have on today, but I'm sick of getting rejected. This will be the third time. So, Maz, you know, you introduce her. I don't want to do it right now. I ain't doing it. You can't force me.
I think you should just introduce yourself. Because nobody wants to hear my voice.
Because you're basically a co-host now with how many times you've been on.
You have the record for most appearances besides us.
Wow. All right. I'm Steph Gaudreau from Stupid Easy Paleo. And I'm back for my third time on Bad Guy Muay Thai podcast. Yeah.
They say, you know, once you go bad, you come back on three more times. So, Steph, tell us, what have you been up to?
Oh, wow. What have I been up to? I've been
taking pictures of food.
All sorts of stuff. Taking pictures of food. I'm actually shooting a cookbook for a different author. So not for myself, but I'm freelancing and doing some photography for somebody else for their cookbook, which is fun. And I'm kind of leading up to and getting ready for the launch of my own cookbook, which happens at the beginning of January. And I just got back from Thailand, so all sorts of stuff.
So before we go into Thailand, tell us about this new book that you got going on. What's the name of it, and what distinguishes this book from any other paleo book?
So the name of my book is The Performance Paleo Cookbook, and it's aimed at giving people this easy recipes that they can use to supplement really like their nutrition plan for performance. So anybody who's an athlete, anybody who cares about the competitive edge and wants to eat in a way to support that will be able to pick up this cookbook and cook breakfast, lunch, dinner, pre-workout, post-workout, like a real food approach to nutrition. So that's really kind of, I think, what makes it different is that some of the paleo stuff that's in the book strays a little bit from the most traditional recommendations. You know, paleo gets kind of a bad rap as being like so strict and you can't follow it. And if you're an athlete and you want to perform, like there's no way you can do it. But what I've really done is modified their performance, still have, you know, a lean physique, still make their weight class, whatever it is that they're trying to do. But they get to enjoy the other cool stuff that comes along with it, like better recovery and less inflammation and stuff like that.
Now, do you think your book is going to set you apart from all the other books or information out there because you've tried and tested all this stuff and, like, you're kind of riding on the success of your blog as well? Like, everybody, I mean, you have a huge following, so do you think that's going to help set you apart? Because there's a million cookbooks out there.
There's 10 billion cookbooks. I think I counted. And
literally.
Especially in the paleo world, there's tons and tons and tons of cookbooks coming out and in the works. And it's insane. Like, it's great compared to 5 years ago when I started 3 books. And now there's 10 billion. So, I'm hoping that the cookbook is really going to be that tangible, you can see it, you can hold it. Like the ebook is great, but you know, it's an ebook. Like you can't carry it around and get drips on it when you're cooking and doggy or the pages. And so I'm hoping that people are going to be able to take that with them and share it with their friends and bring it to their gym and talk to their coach about it and get ideas. And really, I think the cookbook coming out is going to be one of the most important things that's happened to Stupid Easy Paleo in the last couple of years. So now, I'm excited and a little bit nervous. But
now, you were saying there's a few things that you do that kind of, you know, are a little risque in the paleo community as far as what you allow in the diet. Just, you know, not to really delve into it too much. What would you say are just a few things that you do differently?
So, like, just from a kind of an overall point of view, I'm of the opinion that if you're a hard-charging athlete, you're training lots of hours every week, you know, you're buying all the gear that goes along with your sport, you're making the investment, you're sacrificing time away from your family or your friends, like, there's a commitment that you're making to performance and whatever sport it is that you're into, you have to pay attention to what you're eating, and you may end up eating things that somebody who's sedentary and overweight and just trying to reclaim their health would. So not everybody's coming from the same perspective, and not everybody has the same goals. And so therefore, not everybody should be eating the same things. So for example, white potatoes in my book, white rice a couple times shows up in my book, protein powder shows up in my book. You know, and these are just a few of the things that they're not mandatory, but you know, I realize that for some people, they're super busy, they're doing two a days, whatever it is, like they're going to need to fuel themselves the best they can with the limited time that they're already dealing with. And for some people, you know, if they're a high level athlete, performance in some cases comes before like just general health, right? So not everybody's coming from the same place, and the things that athletes do are different than the things that normal people do. So
it's totally scalable.
Yeah.
So totally scalable. So you could be Ironman, triathlon, or you can be, you know, like us, you know, weekend warriors.
Yeah, I think that's why we didn't use the word athlete, because I mean, first of all, what is an athlete? You can go online and find 15,000 different definitions, and people argue about who is really an athlete. And I think at the end of the day, you can still compete against yourself. You can still be performance minded, and you can never step into a competition proper. Like, you may never compete against somebody else for a title or for, you know, a trophy or for a state championship or whatever it is. But if you're like, you have serious performance goals, I think that needs to be, kind of paid some mind to. Like, not everybody is necessarily an athlete in the sense of, you know, you're going to go to the Olympics, but so many people are really interested in sport.
Now, speaking about performance, because granted that's in the title, how close to the book do you basically eat as far as the meal plans, the ideas? Because we all know, you know, you're very big in Olympic lifting. We watch your videos and we go, wow, Quadzilla. You know, we're all like, she rocks. So how close to the book do you actually follow it for yourself, for your own performance and your lifts?
Really, really closely. I don't deviate very much. Like, when I was in Thailand, yeah, we ate what we ate. If it's a vacation, that sort of stuff. But when I'm training and I'm home and it's everyday life, I eat the way I eat the food that's in my book. Like, that's the food that it's in the book, because it's what I make, you know. And for weightlifting, the only real big difference for me is I tend to cycle my carbs differently than when I was doing CrossFit, and that's the main difference. I'll put priority on getting enough protein. I include enough healthy fat. Like, I'm including carbohydrate from nutrient dense sources in most cases. So yeah, like, what you see in the book is what you get. Like, that's my real life. So there's no smoke and mirrors or trickery, and that's why I really believe in it, because it's what I do.
I have a question for you about the book, because I know you post a bunch of different articles and recipes on the blog and on your Instagram, and you're always taking awesome pictures of beautiful food. How many recipes are going to be in your new book? And if you can talk about them, like, which ones are like your favorite ones, maybe because you eat them every day, or it's just something that was like maybe super creative that you just like, that just happened to be your favorite, or maybe like the best tasting.
There's over 100 recipes.
Nice.
My favorite recipe in the whole book is probably an Asian marinated flank steak. It's just so good and tender, and you just marinate it with spices and ginger and green onions and garlic, and oh, just pan fry that or grill it up and slice it really thin. That's amazing. So
now, for all the bachelors out there, such as myself, I would like to know a very important question. How many crock pot recipes do you have in there? Because in the winter in New Jersey, that's like the best.
Yeah, that is by far
you
the best.
Throw stuff in there and come back in a few hours and you just gorge.
There are a few. There are a few, at least. I can't think off the top of my head, but like there's some basic stuff in there for, you know, kind of getting by in the staple meals and back of time. Like, you know, I'm working on this cookbook right now for somebody else, and I have to cook all the recipes, and I'm just like, it's fun for me because it's stuff that I would never make, but it's also stuff that's really involved, and there's lots of steps. And I'm just like, you know what, get it in the pan, make a quick sauce or marinate it in something, make it taste really good, but make it be as simple as possible.
So now tell us about Thailand. I know you were just recently there for a good amount of time, and I think you had a better time than I did. I got molested pretty seriously, so tell us about your time.
Holy shit. That sounds like a way different
application. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Was yours like Hangover 2?
Yeah, something? Definitely.
My friend Nick Massey owns the website paleonick.com. He does a lot of stuff in the CrossFit community, and we knew each other through mutual friends, but it was like we only knew each other on Instagram. And he sent me a message back in September, and he was like, "Do you want to go to Thailand?" And I was like, "Yeah, like sure. Well, I'll go to Thailand. What's going on?" So he does culinary adventures to different countries, and we set up this trip to Thailand and took about, well, in total there were 20 of us that met from all corners of the world. We had people from Australia, people from Malaysia, people from the States. And we all converged on Chiang Mai in Thailand for about a week. And we were there for the Lantern Festival, which was totally kick-ass. That was like probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So we got to eat and go to cooking school, and every day we had access to the CrossFit gym there, and it was really rad. It was, I mean, when you're traveling and you get to experience new stuff, it's always super powerful, and sometimes it affects you in ways that you don't expect. But then when you're there with, you basically meet 20 new friends in the process. It was an awesome experience, except for the train ride back home. Yeah. So.
What was the coolest non-paleo or non-like workout related thing that you did? Something that was just kind of way off the, you know, beaten path for you?
Well, probably the Lantern Festival that I mentioned. The Yipang Festival happens every year, and it's just kind of like a cultural celebration that happens there. But that was awesome. The other awesome thing, and I never thought I would say that I would like this because I always thought it was really lame, but we did zip lining there, and it was probably the most amazing thing I have. Like, it was so fun. It was terrifying, and there was lots of screaming. But you're in this gigantic, like this old growth rainforest, and you're way high above everything and just kind of flying through the air on these zip lines and watching people get over their fears and then having fun. And it was just like a kumbaya moment. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Now, what is the best thing that wasn't paleo that you ate there? Be honest. Best thing.
Because you obviously were doing some food research, yeah, taste testing.
Oh, yeah. We ate like everything. So, okay. So near our hotel, there was a 7-Eleven. And in front of the 7-Eleven, there was a guy with a little food, because there's like food vendors,
yeah,
on the street everywhere, right? So street food. So you walk around and you just eat all day. But there was a guy in front of 7-Eleven, and he was making basically a fortune cookie. And so he would put it on this griddle, and then he would fold it, and he would put like a almost like meringue with egg yolk, like this egg yolk cooked in syrup and sesame seeds, and it was like a fortune cookie, but better. That was probably the best thing I ate.
Now, I travel quite a bit to other countries as well, and sometimes I'm a little scared to eat like street meat, street vendor food, because I've gotten pretty fucking sick for being like a little adventurous. Did you get sick at all while you're there?
I did not get sick at all.
Okay.
However, and I actually, we were walking through the market, and some of us ended up at a vendor that had some bugs, and so I just was like, all right, mealworms.
You
like,
tried it?
These bugs, they were cooked, but
oh,
what did it taste like?
You're better than me.
Chicken, dirty chicken, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was kind of earthy and crunchy.
I had the opportunity to eat bugs, and I said hell no.
I would if it was like a situation where I had to eat bugs. But I usually just bring like a protein bar, so
there you go,
in that situation.
You know what was weird though? Like the whole time I was there, my ankles were really swollen, and I think it was from all the soy,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm definitely not used to. And you know, you're in a foreign country, and you're your food adventures, you're just gonna, and the food was delicious, but it's definitely not something that I eat. And the whole time I was like, why do I have cankles? This is terrible.
Well, you know, the weirdest, whole trip. The weirdest thing for me when I was there, I was literally constipated for like a week. The food was just so different. And, you know, I don't eat a lot of rice, so everything was white rice there.
That happens a lot, too, when you fly, because your body is not on its, like, normal cycle. And a lot of people, such as myself, don't like to use the facilities on the airplane.
Yeah.
So people are just like, oh, just wait till I get where I'm going. So
and dehydrated, and, your body's completely thrown off. But, no, I wasn't sick the whole time I was there, so.
Steph, where is your next adventure leading you?
And can we go with you?
Yes, exactly.
Well, this January we're going to be doing some touring for the book, mostly on the West Coast to start, and then we'll work our way east as the weather gets better.
Yeah.
So I'll see you in April.
Yes.
Yeah. Our next, like, big adventure is going to be in October of 2015. We're going to New Zealand for a couple weeks.
Cool.
Nice. And what's in New Zealand?
We're actually going to be saw the Ancestral Health Symposium, the New Zealand edition of that, which is brand new. They have one here in the States, but our friends are launching a New Zealand version. So we're going to go down there to Christchurch and visit them and speak at the conference and go do some hobbiting and some Lord of the Rings fangirl and fanboy stuff and some mountain biking and hopefully a bunch of other cool things. So
I just seen on Groupon they have the New Zealand Lord of the Rings Hobbit tour. You can.
I'm not even kidding you. Like,
swear to God.
you can ask my husband. Like, he's super into films. I'm like, unless it's something that's really cool. But Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit they're like borderline obsessions for us. And I'm so, like, I am literally gonna cry at the bat comes out. It's gonna be a bittersweet moment.
So now
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know anything about that stuff because they're short and I'm short and I refuse to watch it because I feel like it's an insult. But
I thought people that watch that were just virgins.
Yeah, that's the rumor, right?
That's what I thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't confirm or deny.
So now, Steph, we were really talking about this, me and John, a while ago, about what separates each diet from one another. And one diet says this guy's wrong, one diet says this guy's wrong, and a lot of their information, like, example, the China studies, like, oh, meat's terrible for you.
Or the 30 bananas guy.
Or the 30 bananas guy. What? Because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, this has become almost your identity now. What made you truly believe in this? What drew you to this? And why do you so strongly still hold on to this as your practice?
Well, put it pretty simply, I felt like shit before, and now I don't. So, in a lot of different ways. And I had tried a bunch of different I don't know if you want to call them diets or ways of eating. I was a vegetarian. I did Weight Watchers, like, you name it, I pretty much tried it. Low fat, like the whole gamut. And it wasn't until I started eating paleo, and this is almost 5 years ago now, that I found almost pretty immediate relief of like digestive problems and crazy like energy swings. Like, I would get so tired. It would be 3 o'clock, I'd be driving home, I'd be falling asleep. What? It's just, you know, not normal. So a lot of the health issues I was feeling that I had kind of just said, oh, this is normal, this is the way I am, when I started eating paleo, went away. And it's the best I had ever felt. And I was an athlete at the time. I was racing mountain bikes, and now I do a different sport. But I was able to get better at my sport. I was able to keep doing what I love to do, and still my health was improving.
So now,
and that right there sold it for me. Like, I don't need to know anything else. I know at this point, this is what my body works well on. I know when I deviate from it, I don't feel as good. So for me, that's enough. Like, that's enough proof right there to keep doing it.
Now, you're pretty much have switched your lifestyle, and you've been doing it for quite a few years, and you feel the difference. For the person maybe who's a novice or looking to change their lifestyle, how long do you think people need to stick to the paleo-esque plan for them to actually feel those benefits, to feel better, to have the energy, to have the you know, digestive uptake or whatever?
I mean, let's just say the average person who doesn't have a bunch of underlying problems like candida overgrowth or
gonorrhea.
They don't have like a bunch of other kind of strange health things going on. They're just kind of like of normal constitution.
Your average person.
You can see pretty amazing changes in about a month. And I'd say 3 to 6 months will be where you're really good. You know, the going to happen for a lot of people.
What if I don't have that much time?
Well, it's hard because, you know, everybody calls it the paleo diet. So then everybody thinks, well, you're going to lose 7 pounds in 7 days. And then when, you know, for some people, they lose a lot of weight at the beginning and then it starts to taper off and it's more gradual. And they're like, but what's wrong? Like, I was losing weight so fast. And I'm like, well, you know, you're shifting hormones here. You're changing metabolism. You're improving your gut health. Like, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. So I would say if people can commit to 30 days and start feeling some of the benefits, like after 2 or 3 weeks, most people will get enough positive feedback that they're like, yeah, this, I want to keep doing this because I feel good.
Now, I actually have 2 questions for you, but I'll shoot this first one at you. Right now I'm really committing to a paleo diet to get lean. I want to look good for Maz. And
summer's coming up.
How do you feel about these paleo products like, paleo protein, paleo bread, paleo noodles? How do you feel about those things? Because I love food in general, so it's hard to give up those things. But in general, too, it's kind of confusing because I feel like if you're going to make a paleo pizza crust and if you really want it that badly, why not just have the pizza crust? So how do you feel about all these paleo products that are supposed to help you get off normal conventional stuff?
I can tell you that 5 years ago when I started doing this, things were really different and an industry has grown up around this way of eating. Some of it I feel is very positive, but a lot of it I think is really shitey, unnecessary. Like, we're trying to get people to just eat real whole food that's super nutrient dense. It has the most nutrient bang for your calorie buck. That's what I like to say. And a lot of the pre-packaged, like, we're trying to get people off of processed, pre-packaged, low nutrient value, inflammatory foods, right? And a lot of what is coming out is labeled paleo now to take advantage of this growing market is just the very same. It's low nutrient value, highly processed, pre-packaged, not fresh, like lacking in nutrition kind of food. And it really, it kind of makes me mad.
So there's still no substitute for our actual whole food style.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree with you guys. Like, okay, maybe if you're a celiac, you wouldn't do this. But for me, it's a French croissant. Like, go get yourself an amazing French croissant from your favorite bakery and sit down and put your phone away and drink a cup of coffee and enjoy that damn thing, right? Like,
it doesn't hurt every now and again, right?
I wrote an article last year called Why Paleo Donuts Suck. It got a lot of support, but it also got a lot of negative feedback. And I was like, I get it. For some people, they absolutely cannot eat a food or they will just, really bad things will happen to their system. And I get that. But for most of us, that's not the case. And it's like, if you want a donut, go get a Krispy Kreme. Like, go get something that's going to be amazingly delicious and just deal with the consequences that come with it. But yeah, I think the whole like paleo versions of junk food is just completely missing the point for a lot of people.
So, I mean, like, I had a question. I see like advertisements now for one of my like favorite protein bars. Can I say the name of it?
Which one is it?
Quest bars.
Oh, Quest bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I love those. Those taste so good, but I mean, I'm sure they're just shit. I mean, as far as, like, the paleo goes, right?
Well, again,
is it a gray area?
Yeah, it's totally a gray area. Like, it technically might be gluten-free. It technically might be dairy-free, grain-free, like, whatever. But, you know, and if you need it, like, if you're in a pinch, like, that, you're just like, if I don't eat something right now, I'm going to go ape shit on somebody because I'm so hungry. Like, if it's, you're in a pinch, and whatnot, but if you're going to make that a habit every single day, like you're trading that for some kind of like really high nutrient value food that's not highly processed, I don't know, I think there's room to make better choices.
Now, here was another question I want to ask you. Within the nutrition / paleo world, what teachers do you really hold like on a high pedestal? Who do you see as your teacher, and who do you follow just to get more and more up to date?
My friends, and I mean, I consider them mentors, are Dallas and Melissa Hartwig, and they created the Whole 30 program, and they run a company called Whole 9. And the reason that I align so closely with them is because it's just my personal values and what I think are really important for nutrition are very, very, very close. In fact, I would say almost identical to what they talk about. And I really think when it comes down to it, and I know them as friends, they have people's, they truly care about people and they truly have people's best interests at heart when it comes to health. And that right there is something that I can't, you know, I think that that's amazing. Like I can't have any more respect for them than I possibly already do. It's just that right there is the ultimate, way to affect people's lives. Like they're affecting people's lives in a positive way. And their program might not be for everybody, but I myself have done it and it made such a huge change for me that when they have something to say, I definitely pay attention. They're probably two of the people in this whole kind of paleo real food movement that I respect the most.
Now, I was kind of confused, because I'm sure you've read the other paleo performance books. There was one that Rob Wolf really praises by Lauren Cordain, or I believe...
Yeah, Dr. Cordain and Joe Friel.
Now, question. I could have sworn there was one point in the book. I mean, he basically deviates from it. He's like, oh, well, if you're going to have... and I've actually read that same area like 3 times. I was just kind of like confused about it. He's like, if you need to have a bread, have it right after a workout. And it was like within the beginning in the post-workout section. And then he kind of like goes all over how you should never have it. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. What do you think about that? Because that kind of resonated with me. That still stuck to me. So how do you explain that?
You know, I have a lot of respect for Dr. Cordain because he's one of the kind of founders of this whole movement, and definitely somebody who popularized it. And without him, who knows, you know, exactly where we would be right now and how many people's lives would be positively affected by paleo. But on the other hand, there are a lot of things, not necessarily in the Paleo Diet for Athletes, which is incidentally the first book about paleo that I ever read, mm-hmm. was that book because I was racing bikes at the time. And Joe Friel is pretty well known in the endurance community as a coach. I have a lot of respect for those guys, but at the same time, doesn't really talk about any other kind of sports aside from endurance sports. Like there's an obvious gap there. And some of the recommendations on his site, like don't ever use salt, are just completely unrealistic to me.
Yeah, and I just saw... I'm sorry to cut you off. I just saw a whole thing from Dave Asprey about salt hacking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, why would they tell somebody to not eat salt when, I mean, example, you know, if you're perspiring at a rapid rate, that makes no sense.
Yeah, and I know, like, they started to introduce some, like, bending of the rules for athletes, and there are folks in his camp who remain very hardline to the original paleo recommendations, and I get that. Like, there's something about preserving this, like, you know, core of eat meat, seafood, and eggs, eat vegetables and fruit, and eat healthy fats that I think is incredibly important. But when we're telling athletes or we're telling people, like, you can't put any salt on your food, so... not only are you missing out on sodium, which you need, your food doesn't taste very good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to want to keep eating what's healthy food that I'm already, if I'm new to paleo, I'm like, wow, I'm already giving up a lot. And now the food doesn't really taste very good. Like, what's motivating about that? So there are just some some areas there where I think there's some inconsistencies, and I personally would vary from those recommendations. And I think that's kind of what motivated me to write the Paleo Athlete, my ebook, was like, hey, yeah, endurance sports are huge in this country. Like, I think there are more runners than any other sport, but we're ignoring a huge pool here. Like, we have, you know, MMA people, we have CrossFit people, we have weightlifters, we have people that are in all different kinds of sports, you know, team sports, and they're not just necessarily the traditional triathlon crowd. So I think that's kind of what motivated me, was not that the work is bad, but I saw that there were probably some things there that needed to be clarified, at least for me. People would ask me these questions all the time, and it's like, well, how do you answer them? Through a combination of science and, you know, practical experience.
Do you think that book is just a little dated now because it is a few years old and everything has been evolving at a rapid pace in the last 5 years?
They came out with a new edition, I believe, earlier this year or last year, and I haven't picked it up to read it. But I'm not so sure how I don't really know how they've addressed the non-endurance crowd. And how their recommendations for example, like saturated fat have changed, because it used to be all only like very lean meat, like no, you know, don't eat meat that has a lot of fat or saturated fat. And even Dr. Cordain has started to, I believe, kind of change his personal stance on that sort of stuff. So I should pick it up and check it out, but I've been kind of busy doing my own thing to...
So what?
Worry about that.
What date is your book actually set to drop? And it's going to be, you're going to have a physical version and a digital version, right?
Yeah. So a physical print book and a digital version as well, and that's going to be on January 6th.
Now I have a question for you. I don't know if it was me kind of having a brain fart, but I was trying to get Joff to download your other book, Day Before Last. And I couldn't find it on iTunes. Is that by design or is that?
My The Paleo Athlete is on iBooks, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't, for some reason, yeah, I couldn't find it.
Really? No.
Yeah. But you can pre-order the new book.
Yeah, that they had on there.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, I'll
see if I can send you guys the link.
Nice. So now, What's the next project as far as books or blogs or whatever it may be? What's the next big project that we can expect from you besides leaving your husband? What?
Well, the other book that you're taking all the pictures for.
Yeah, so I'm more than halfway done shooting this new book. I would love if somebody out there is like, hey, I'm looking for a food photographer. I would love to do another project. But my next big goal is, I guess I'll make it public here.
Breaking news.
my next big goal is to actually do a second edition of The Paleo Athlete and self-publish in print.
Oh, very cool.
And what would the second edition, I mean, I'm sure it's kind of in the, kind of just the idea phase, but what are just some things that you're really passionate about adding into that?
Just expanding upon a lot of the recommendations that are in the book and trying to help people figure out how to dial it in for themselves. I think that's probably one of the number one questions I get is like, well, here, like, I know these are the ranges that you recommend, but how do I figure out what really works for me? And I think that's a place we could do a little bit of work. Also kind of making some distinctions between different sports and the demands of those sports. And I do talk about that, but I want to know more. And then for the sake of ending the confusion between the two books, completely getting rid of the recipes out of, there's like 30 recipes in the Paleo Athlete, but taking them out and just doing, just making it more robust, making it a better resource for people.
Awesome.
So now I'd say this is a good place to kind of wrap it up. So you know what's coming next. It's our favorite segment, which is the random question.
No.
It's the best part of the whole podcast. So, John, do you have a question or no?
I do.
Okay, you go first.
So, me and Steph were talking offline last week, and she was saying that she kind of has a guilty pleasure of watching The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, wow.
And
we watched that. Here.
Yeah, one of our friends is on the show.
Angela Hill.
So, my question for Steph is, when are we going to see your mixed martial arts debut?
So, like, can I tell you guys, I've never not only have I never hit somebody, I've actually been hit by a boy in fifth grade. He hit me right in the face.
I'll kill him.
Yeah, Mike Farrow.
Okay, I'm looking for him.
Facebook, I'm going to find you.
What's the name, Jack Sparrow?
those folks, like, are, I have so much respect for MMA fighters because, man, you got to really love what you do, and you've got to, like, put aside all sense of saving yourself. Like, you just have to go out there and be prepared to fight, and I respect that tremendously, because when I work out, it's me and a barbell. And what gravity makes it do, but when you're fighting like that with another person, it's another world. So I have immense respect for them, and they scare me a little bit.
Would you be interested? Like, don't hit me. Would you be interested in working in that community with women specifically, just because of you being a woman, and you know, you really don't hear of too many people in the food industry and in, like, actually being, like, women specific, actually being a woman themselves. Like, a lot of the guys you work with are guys, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's really funny. I kind of have this interest in, it's more on the weightlifting side of things, but because we have to make weight classes just like mm-hmm. if you were going to fight MMA. I have a kind of a personal interest in helping women, because for our sport, we don't have a 24-hour period between our weigh-in and our fight. Like, we have a 2-hour window between our weigh-in and our lifting, which is completely different. So recently I was, when I did my meet back in August, I was trying to cut a couple of kilos, and everything that I would normally do or that works for guys was completely backfiring on me because of hormones and being 35 and all this other stuff. So I really kind of have this personal interest in helping women figure out how to weight cut. And I think, you know, women in many sports, it's just this kind of untapped market. Like, we have so much access now to sports that are traditionally male dominated or been up and coming. So I think it would be really cool. And I know San Diego has quite a few fighters that are based out of here. So.
All right, now my random question.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. I'm scared.
So am I.
We're on a boat, okay? You and I, and I'm rowing the boat. I'm rowing the boat.
Because you've been crossfitting on the rower.
Because I've been crossfitting on the rower, concept 2 rower. And
plug.
I take out my ukulele and I start playing I start playing a really nice song, and you have a backpack that could have any non-paleo food item in it that I could feed you. What would it be?
it has to be non-paleo, or it can be anything.
Okay.
Let's live a little here, Jesus
Christ.
Let's
live a little bit. Let's live a little bit. So non-paleo.
All right. Probably like a really nice loaf of French bread or something.
Oh, excellent. I know exactly where to get it.
That's perfect, because you love bread.
And wine, the trio.
There you go.
Perfect. I'm gonna score. All right, Steph, we just want to say we love you. Thank you for, you know, being on the podcast. Thank you for being so awesome. It was another really fun night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. And maybe we'll be on record to be number 4 at some point.
Yeah, like next week.
Like next week, right? Yeah, perfect.
So, everybody, January 6th, your new book comes out. They can find it at stupideasypaleo.com. And where else can they download it?
Indie, they can download it on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and on iBooks.
Perfect. I'll download that to my Game Boy and PlayStation 1.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
All right, Steph.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Have a great night.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.